The 19th of November, six games. We had a good one between the Cavs and the Celtics. We still have a game going on. The Lakers and the Jazz should be done by the time we are finished. So we should be able to get to that game. This is the Tuesday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Well, welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91. Find me on Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Twitter, everywhere. Please go to YouTube, like and rate and subscribe. We do have some stuff going on in the background at the moment with the audio feed, which some news, which will hopefully be all sorted in the next week or so. I'll take care of that. We are part of the Old Man Squad as well. Follow them on Twitter at Old Man Squad. Or, as I always say, go and bother Dan Bespris. He will point you in the right direction. We have six games to get through. As I said, one is still going, I believe it is. Looks like the Lakers are going to get the win. Jazz have kept it relatively close, but we will get to that game at the end. But we will start with the first game, which was the one that a lot of us wanted to see tonight. The undefeated Cleveland Cavaliers heading into Boston. And a close one. Boston get the win, 120 to 117. So it did, well, I think it lived up to the hype. For the Cavs, they were without Caris LeVert. They were without someone else, Wade. I'm sure there was someone. I can't think who the other guy is. Anyway, they still played well. Mobley played very well. 22 points, 11 rebounds, steal and a block. Continues his very good season. Jarrett Allen, yeah, they're sort of good enough, but not fantastic. 10 and 11 with a steal. Donovan Mitchell stepped up as he typically does. 35 points, 8 rebounds. But speaking of stepping up, Darius Garland did not step up. 8 points on 3 of 21 shooting, 7 assists, a steal and a block. Yeah, that hurts. If you had Darius Garland tonight, he obviously, I mean, look, I mean, credit to him. He's going to keep shooting and shoots himself out of the slump. But he, look, he's been really good this year. So I think it's a tough pill to swallow in this game, but if we look at his season as a whole, it's been pretty good. And then off the bench, they ran a very short rotation here. Ty Jerome played 28 minutes, had 10 and 5. Craig Porter, 15 points in his 25 minutes. I still like Porter long term. I don't think there's much of a role for him this year when they're healthy. George Niang, the minivan, gets 1 3-pointer. If you, for some reason, streamed him in, he didn't really come to the party for you tonight. Over to the Boston side of the equation. Jason Tatum continues to be very, very good this season. 33 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. Shot the ball well. 5 of 7 from the line. Fine. Jaylen Brown, 17 points, 8 assists. Again, it's fine. Al Horford, one of his better games, 20 points, 7 rebounds. 3 blocks. He does tend to step up when they need him to, and then he just fades into obscurity for a week. Derek White had 19, 6, and 5 with a block. Drew Holiday returned from his one-game rest. 11 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Pritchard came off the bench. He started the game well. He had 10 points pretty quick, but finished with 13 points on 5 of 9 shooting, 3 assists, and 1 steal. Unsurprisingly, he has cooled off slightly, but still a must-roster player. Sam Hauser did absolutely nothing for you. And Nemeas Cater, look, I mean, he didn't do anything here, 5 points, 4 rebounds. But the fact that he's playing primarily or exclusively as the backup, no Luke Kornet in this one. So it was all Cater. So it is a good sign for when Horford sits that Cater could have some streaming value. On to the next one, Charlotte and Brooklyn. Brooklyn get the win here, 116 to 115. For the Hornets, Brandon Miller, probably his best game of the year, 29 points, 4 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Efficient. There's issues with his efficiency, but he went 11 of 17 here. So very good game from him. Josh Green, no long-term value. He had 2 good games in a row, I think, but yeah, not sustainable. Miles Bridges had 21 points, 2 assists. That's fine. The points are okay, but not really doing anything else. Grant Williams, I guess we have to roster him as much as it pains me to say it. 16 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks. He won't be this good every night. Part of this is the fact that they were against Brooklyn. And LaMelo Ball, 12 points, 5 assists, a steal in just 24 minutes. He was not in foul trouble. This was just the coach deciding to go with Trey Mann down the stretch. Brandon Miller had some questionable plays. So, yeah, I think it was nothing to worry about, no indication that this is a trend or anything like that. I think it was just he was playing poorly, he was frustrated, and he probably let those frustrations out in the incorrect way, according to the coach, and so he did not play in the final few minutes of the game. As for Trey Mann, 19 points in 26 minutes. We know he is a points streamer. Diabate, who had been a popular stream guy, didn't really play in the last game. Only 16 minutes here. He failed to score, 7 rebounds and a block. So he is a very good rebounder, but at this point, nothing more than a rebound streamer. Salou had 11 points in his 15 minutes, but not enough there for him to be a rosterable player. Now, I do see questions. Oh, yes. I think the Musa has spoiled. It has. Look, I think he'll play more minutes in certain games. But yeah, again, nothing more than a streamer. No need to be holding him long-term or anything like that. For Brooklyn, Cam Johnson, very nice. With no Cam Thomas, who was out with back stiffness or soreness or something. Doesn't sound like it's anything significant, but do keep an eye on it because the Nets are typically pretty cautious when it comes to injuries. Cam Johnson had 34 points, 2 blocks, a steal, 4 assists, 6 three-pointers. Very good game from him. He's been quietly, very good this season. I will tell you how good he's been. Let me just... tends to still get overlooked a little bit just because he doesn't really have these sort of blow-up games or anything like that. But for the season, he is the 39th ranked player in 9 category leagues, averaging 18.1 points, 4.3 rebounds, 2.9 assists, shooting 48 and 92%, 3 threes. And honestly, those defensive numbers could come up. He's only averaging 0.7 steals. And prior to last year, he had been sort of a steal a game. So there is a little bit of room here for his defensive numbers to come up, even just to 0.9 or 1 would bump him up a little bit. So, yeah, really good season from Cam Johnson, and that continued here. Dorian Finney-Smith, we keep streaming him until Nick Claxton is back. Ben Simmons, maybe his best game of the year. He looked pretty good, 26 minutes. Again, I do think this was a matchup situation playing against a Charlotte team that doesn't really have any rim protection or anything like that. Simmons had 10 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. If you drafted him, this is exactly what you drafted him for. Will we see more of it? I don't know. He's fine to go and add and then just see if he can build on this performance. Dennis Schroeder, 14 and 12. Gets it done, and Jalen Wilson had 17 points, including 5 threes. He has value sporadically. The Nets actually closed with Trendon Watford in this one. 10 points, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a steal in 19 minutes. I like Watford. I don't think this is going to be a consistent thing, but it was nice to see him out there. And given that just their team is not really top heavy at the moment, Shake Milton played 18 minutes, Zaire Williams 17, Noah Clowney 14. So they are just spreading the minutes and going with whoever is hot, whoever's playing well. And that was Shake Milton for a while. It was Trenton Watford down the stretch. In terms of value, none of them are really players that we need to consider. Denver and Memphis. Denver get the win here, 122-110. Both teams battling a couple of injuries. The Nuggets, most importantly, were without Nikola Jokic for the third straight game. So we had Saric starting. We don't need to do anything with Dario Saric. Christian Brown, don't need to do anything with him. He should be rostered and he should continue to be rostered. Jamal Murray had one of his better games, 27 points, 6 assists, 3 steals and 2 blocks. So good to see him putting up numbers without Jokic. Peyton Watson also pretty productive here, 15 and 5 with a steal and a block. He remains a must-roster player. Only 25 minutes, but he did foul out. So don't worry too much about the low minutes there. Michael Porter continues to have a strong season. And we had a Russell Westbrook triple-double. He's 200th, so that's a good thing for Russell Westbrook. 12 points, 14 assists, 10 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. We know he has these games from time to time. Go and pick him up, go and add him. But he could be really bad in the next game. So it is hit or miss with Westbrook. Julian Strouther, 6 points in 20 minutes. Points streamer, but you need to cross your fingers and hope that you catch him on a good night. For Memphis, Brandon Clark started. He's not really doing enough to be rostered at the moment. We were hoping that Jay Huff may step into a backup role here and play 20, 22 minutes, but he only played 13 minutes and did nothing. So if you streamed him in, a bit of a rough night, but I would hold him because this was against a team that basically didn't run a center. I mean, Saric played at center, but he's not a center. DeAndre Jordan played a few minutes, but yeah, I do think this was just a bad matchup for Huff. So if you did stream him in, I would probably hold for one more game. And then we've got, with all the injuries, we've got Scottie Pippen still playing strong minutes, worth holding for now. Let's see what he looks like. It does sound like Ja Morant is progressing as planned. So no indication that he's back this week or anything like that, but no setbacks either, which is good. Jalen Wells, just a points streamer and did not do anything tonight. And then you've got Aldama. We know he does this. He pops off for these sort of explosive games, 28 and 11 with a steal. And then next game, he might only have 8 points and 3 rebounds with nothing else. So again, feel free to stream him in if you like. And if you couldn't be bothered, then don't be bothered. Pelicans and Mavericks are comfortable win for the Dallas Mavericks here, 132-91. It was never close, to be honest. Pelicans, they're struggling. It's not pretty if you're a Pelicans fan. Brandon Ingram was okay. Trey Murphy was okay. Brandon Boston was okay. He has slowed down as we thought he might, but he's still doing enough to be rostered. Misi, I keep sort of preaching him as a guy that we should be rostering. It's going to be, I don't know, it's tough. He had 9 rebounds. He had a steal and a block. If you don't need scoring, then I would probably still hold on to him. But, yeah, I think we can probably move on if he's only going to be playing minutes in the low 20s. But, again, this was a blowout, so hard to pull too much from this box score. Much the same on the Dallas side. Luka only played 30 minutes. Kyrie played 27. Lively, 21. So we're not really taking too much out of this one. PJ Washington, I've said multiple times, he is the most up and down inconsistent player in fantasy. 4 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks and a steal. must roster, but it's not a not a smooth ride at all. Have had some Dan Gafford questions about whether we should drop him. Not his best game, 11 and 6 in 20 minutes, but I do think if he's going to play 20 minutes, he probably still needs to be rostered in all leagues because I think he's only averaging 20 minutes for the season or 21. So, yeah, despite coming off the bench now, his role is not changing. Over to the next game, OKC and the Spurs. Bad loss for OKC. Spurs get a win 110 to 104 without Wemby and without Devin Vassell. So, yeah, a bit of a weird one for the Thunder. Yeah, this is the Lu Dort we sort of know in terms of offense. 6 points on 2 of 12 shooting, but he had 12 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. He remains a must-roster player. Jalen Williams, 27 and 10 with 6 assists and 5 steals. Very nice from him. And Shea also very nice with 32 points, 7 assists, 3 steals. Kaysen Wallace, a steals streamer, and got 0 steals. So 13 points are fine. If you want to hold him, fine. Alex Caruso returned in this one and had 3 steals and 2 blocks. So if you streamed him in for defensive stuff, you got exactly that. And look, honestly, if he's going to hit 25 or 26 minutes, he probably should be rostered. The shooting is just woeful this year. I feel like it's got to turn around at some point. In 20 minutes, probably not a hold, but keep an eye on this to see if the fact he played 26 minutes coming off an injury is encouraging. So, yeah, if he is going to hit that 25-minute threshold, he's probably an add. For the Spurs, Zach Collins got the start with Wemby out, 12 points, 7 rebounds, steal and a block, probably about all you could ask for. Against an OKC team that doesn't run a center, 26 minutes is pretty good for Collins. I was worried he was only going to play 18, 17, but no, they had him out there for 26. So if you picked him up, as I did in a couple of leagues, I'm pretty happy, and I will hold him until we get word that Wemby is coming back. 20 points for Harrison Barnes. That's about a month's worth of production, so don't count on that happening again anytime soon. Steph Castle had 10 points, 8 assists in his 35 minutes. If you want assists, give him a look, but that's about it. 7 turnovers almost negates that completely. And then off the bench, Keldon Johnson. We know he has these games, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, no defensive stats. So just a points guy. And Charles Bassey, who I said, very fantasy-friendly game, 21 minutes, 12 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks of steal. We know what he can do. We've seen it in very limited sample sizes, but there's no indication that his role is going to be significant here, but someone to monitor later down the season. He is a very nice fantasy player. Now, let me just check. I'm assuming this game has finished. And it has. So I will, while I shift this over here. Okay, there's people watch me in my dodgy IT skills. Make it big. Oh, what happened there? Okay, let's. We're still sharing. We are still sharing. Utah and the Lakers. Lakers get the win, 124 to 118. Now, I didn't see like the last 5 minutes, obviously, but got a pretty good read on the game. Markkanen, better performance. So if you have been holding him, this is a step in the right direction. John Collins, still good, not as good as he's been, but 18 and 8 with a steal is gets it done. Colin Sexton, this is pretty good considering what we've had the last couple of weeks, 19 points, 4 assists, a steal. I think you probably take that. Keontae George also had 18 points and 6 assists and shot the ball pretty well, 7 of 13. Jordan Clarkson, 18 points in his 26 minutes. And Isaiah Collier, we've said just keep an eye on him, 3 steals, 4 assists in his 20 minutes. So no indication that he's coming for Keontae's job at the moment, but, yeah, we don't know what's going to happen further down the track. And Filipowski, look, the minutes are down. He's up and down. I think he's fine if you want to roster him, but I wouldn't say he is a must-roster player at all. For the Lakers, we'll start with Dalton Connect. I did manage to watch that whole third quarter, and he had majority of his points. He ended with 37 points, 9 of 12 from 3. Not much else, but, yeah, he was unconscious. He was playing really well. I think I did see a here we go, Slipping Jimmy. Connect had a huge one. Yeah, it was. He did tie the rookie record for threes made with nine. And he certainly gives the Lakers something they have not had for the last few years, and that is a semi-reliable three-point threat. So the question is going to be, is he going to start? And I think I did see, yeah, here we go. Do we think Rui Hachimura is going to lose his job to Dalton Connect? Yeah, I think we've had this question before. I don't know. There's a chance. There's a chance that he could play over Reddish or over Hachimura. Obviously, they didn't have to make that decision here because Hachimura remains out. I don't think that they will. I think they will stick with Hachimura, but I think that it is possible that they close with Connect. So it might not be that he is a starter, but his minutes, he could play more than Hachimura. I think in the past they've sort of given Hachimura 35 minutes, even if his shot's not dropping. I think now they will comfortably go to Dalton Connect as a replacement down the stretch, as they should. So monitor. But Connect needs to be rostered. Let's see where this goes. Anthony Davis had 26 and 14 with two steals. Austin Reeves, 17 and 5. LeBron James, 26 and 12. So good games from all of those guys. As for D'Angelo Russell, 8 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal and a block. 2 of 8 shooting. I don't know. He's borderline. 26 minutes is probably just enough. But as we've said, we have got Hachimura to come back in here. So, yeah, I'm okay to move on from D'Angelo, but we do know that he has value when he's playing well. Okay, some questions. Let's start. When you are ready, is Asar Thompson worth a 14-team category stash or Herb Jones or neither? I think Herb Jones is still a little while off. It sounds like he's not even taking contact yet. So I think Asar will be back before Herb Jones. The issue is that Asar, his conditioning is, we have no idea. He might just come out and play 12 minutes for 2 weeks. I think when he's healthy, when he's back to full sort of, this is what Asar Thompson is, he probably tops out at about 25 minutes where Herb Jones will get 30 plus. So I think Herb, in terms of role and opportunity, is a little bit safer. Asar Thompson is probably a little bit more intriguing and has more upside because we have seen him be a top 50 player, where Herb Jones is really just steals and nothing else. So in a 14-teamer, I'm stashing Asar, if you can put him in an IR spot, and Herb Jones is available in one of my 14-team leagues. He's on the waivers, and I'm not really interested in picking him up. So hopefully that helps. Okoro was out. That's right. He was the other guy that was out. What else have we got? Really liking the transformation of Ben Simmons into a power forward. Chris Dunn. Ben Simmons has been interesting this season. I think I've got him in a league, maybe two. I dropped him in one. Today was encouraging. I'd like to see him being aggressive in any way, shape or form on the offensive end. Double-digit scoring, believe it or not, is a win for Ben Simmons. So, okay, yes, we've got the Connect. Joseph Kim, is D'Lo a hold? Yeah, I just said I don't know. I don't think he's must roster, no. So I don't think you need to hold him, but it would depend on who you're dropping him for. Just pulling up his stats here. So for the season, he's 155th, 12 points, 5 assists, a steal. He's shooting like under 40%, so that's going to come up at some point. I think he probably tops out this season as like 13 to 14 points with 5 assists, which honestly you can probably get off waivers or certainly by streaming. So no, I don't think he is must roster. With Chanchar's injury, do you think it's worth picking up DeAndre Jordan in hopes? Well, yeah, I don't know. I really hope Jokic doesn't miss a game. And yeah, Flacco, Chanchar, I don't think there's a official update, but it didn't look good. It was a non-contact knee injury, and I believe it is the knee that he has had, that he tore his ACL on previously. So he was hoping it wasn't. You could see from his reaction that he was waving off the bench and saying, leave me on, and they obviously didn't. The fact that he was able to walk it off and didn't look too injured, pay no attention to that, because I have torn my ACL and I was able to walk on it and run and jump and thought about going back into the game. Luckily, I didn't. It is not until about 2 hours after the injury that it starts to hurt and swell. So he was probably just really hoping for the best, and I don't think it was. But we'll see. Maybe it was nothing. But with his injury, do we pick up DeAndre Jordan? I would have a look at the matchup. They'd need to be up against a team that has a traditional center, like big center and a backup, that sort of thing, to consider DeAndre Jordan. Because we know if he can get 20 minutes, he can get you some rebounds and a block and efficiency. So I would have a look at the matchup. And I don't even know when the Nuggets play next, to be honest. If you could have a look and let me know, and then I would maybe make that decision then. Is Connect worth it, or is he going to go 1 of 10 next game? Both could be true. Okay, it's worth Lively and Gafford, then maybe. Yeah, if we get word that that Chanchar is out, then yeah, I'd probably consider him. If it's a day when you can stream, then maybe worth a look. And as for Connect, I think he's worth it. I think you have to. He's been really good the last week or two. We don't know if Hachimura is coming back. So, yes, he could go 1 of 10, but I still think he's worth taking a flyer on. Let's quickly have a look at tomorrow's games. Because then I actually have to go and play basketball tonight. All right, so we've got, I think it's 8 games tomorrow. Yes, it is 8 games tomorrow. We have got some teams backing up as well from tonight. So starting at the top, Pelicans and the Cavs. We know the Pelicans are just running out their G League team at the moment. 8 games probably means there is a little bit of streaming tomorrow, but your roster could also be fully active. So, yeah, have a look before you just go and add someone. Have a look at where they're going to fit in your lineup for tomorrow. But for the Pelicans, I've said Misi, he's borderline. Against the Cavs, though, who are running one of those sort of big lineups, they're going to need Misi on the floor when Allen and Mobley are on the floor. So I think Misi could be 25 minutes tomorrow, 26, so probably enough. If you just need blocks and rebounds for the Cavs, let's see if LeVert's out, let's see if Wade's out, let's see if Okoro's out. If they're all out, then Merrill, Ty Jerome, and maybe Craig Porter, as we saw tonight. The Bulls play the Bucks. Patrick Williams is questionable. He has been Patrick Williams we know and love over the last couple of games. So he is borderline hold at the moment. Sorry, I just said Nick's question there. I'll get to that in a minute. Williams borderline hold. The Sunmu borderline as well for the Bucks. They're pretty much healthy. I'm not including Chris Middleton because I don't – who knows what's happening with him. Not much streaming value here for the Bucks. For the Sixers, Maxi is questionable. I'm not sure he plays, but the fact that he has been upgraded is encouraging. It means he is close. Let's see how they react after the news that came out this morning about Maxi calling out Embiid. in that team meeting. No Kyle Lowry for the next 2 weeks. He's out with hip soreness, I believe. So we are probably just going to see more of Jared McCain. If Maxey is out, do we see Reggie Jackson? Well, that's scary. Reggie Jackson may start because he's really their only point guard. Yeah, I think it might be. That's worrying for the Sixers, and they play the Grizzlies. So Grizzlies obviously coming off tonight's game. Marcus Smart is questionable. Still no Ja Morant, no Zach Edey. Vince Williams hurt his ankle in tonight's game, so nothing official yet, but I doubt he plays. So Aldama, Laravia, those guys are going to get their usual streaming bump. Portland play Thunder. The Thunder. So coming off a back-to-back, second night of a back-to-back for the Thunder, who will be looking to bounce back after losing to the Spurs. For the Blazers, Anthony Simons is questionable due to his chest illness, whatever we're calling it. His return would impact Shaedon Sharpe, but Sharpe remains a must-roster player, as does Kamara, I think. Ayton is doubtful. I think we're all hoping he doesn't play. Unless you have Ayton on your roster, I think we're enjoying seeing Klingon and Rob Williams split those centre minutes. Both are worth rostering if Ayton misses time. Scoot Henderson is really just an assists option at this point. For the Thunder, Isaiah Joe, questionable. I said let's keep an eye on Caruso's minutes because if he is hitting 25, he is probably worth an add just for those defensive purposes. Cason Wallace, likewise, is a defensive add. Pacers play the Rockets. Ben Shepherd, questionable with his oblique. I think it's an oblique. Yes, it is. Yeah, Ben Shepherd, questionable. The return of Ben Shepherd would probably impact TJ McConnell, who I had said was an intriguing speculative pickup if he was going to play 25 minutes like he did in the last game where he had 7 assists and 5 steals or something. We know he is one of the best steals and assists streamers. Really hope that Halliburton can get things going here. Turner is questionable as well. So if Turner is out, I assume Moses Brown is available and ready to go. So let's see if he plays primary backup or does Toppin play the backup and then Brown. Like, I don't know what this rotation is going to look like. I wouldn't be adding Brown just yet, but keep an eye on those minutes. For the Rockets, Jalen Green, questionable with an illness as well. Yeah, look, if he misses time, it's probably Amen Thompson that comes in there. Could be Reed Shepherd that comes in. They've got so many options. But I think if he is out, we see a bit more of Amen Thompson, a bit more of Tari Eason, and a bit more Shepherd. I don't know what their role exactly will be. But Eason and Thompson should be rostered. Shepherd, maybe he gets some stream appeal tomorrow. And Jabari Smith, I've said I think he's a drop and nothing has changed. Maybe he changes my mind tomorrow. Hawks play the Warriors in the first of the late games. For the Hawks, Jalen Johnson is questionable with a leg issue. We don't really know what it is. It just says lower leg inflammation, which could be anything. We don't know. So just monitor the injury report. If he is out, we get a bit more Reese Shea. We get a bit more DeAndre Hunter. Bogdan Bogdanovic is back, so he will increase. Vit Krejci is also off the injury report. So they've got some depth now, basically rolling out an injury-free roster. For the Warriors, Steph Curry is probable with his knee. This is just an ongoing thing, nothing too serious at the moment. Kevon Looney, probable with an illness. We know who the Warriors are at this point. Curry, Wiggins, Green, healed are probably the only must-roster players. And then we've got Jackson Davis, Kuminga, Podziemski, and to a lesser extent, Moody, who are streaming options. Knicks and the Suns. Now, we had a question. Here we go. Who would I stream out of Payne, Kolek, and Ryan with McBride ruled out? So McBride is out again. It was illness. It's now a knee injury. So apparently he got injured while he was sick. I don't know how that works, but who would I stream? Payne would be my preferred option there. And he really is the only streaming option in New York tomorrow. And then for the Suns, Nurkic questionable again with his ankle. If he's out, Plumlee is the guy we want to look at here. Grayson Allen is also putting up some three-point value at the moment. And Iguodaro has been good. So keep an eye on him. If Plumlee is in the starting lineup and they're running with Ryan Dunn, Iguodaro is, I don't know if I'd say he's a streaming target yet, but I think he could do worse. And then the final game, Magic and the Clippers. Wendell Carter is questionable, which is unfortunate if you have Goga Bitadze on your team, but wait and see till tomorrow. Magic are normally pretty good with their injury reporting, so we should get an idea. Despite the fact that they play late, there's a chance that we may know prior to the first game whether Carter, unless he ends up being a game-time decision. If Carter is out, we roll with Bitadze. If Carter is back, it probably impacts, well, definitely impacts Goga, definitely impacts Mo Wagner, and probably impacts Jonathan Isaac as well. So all three would probably go from rosterable to maybe not rosterable. And for the Clippers, Chris Dunn continues to start, but the minutes have been a bit underwhelming. We're probably still rostering him, I think, but yeah, I think we're just tempering our expectations a bit. He's not coming in and playing 30 minutes. Kevin Porter, no word that he is in the concussion protocol despite banging his head on the ground. So that's good for him. I'm probably not streaming him in, but good that he'll be out there tomorrow. And Terrence Mann and Amir Coffey both were good yesterday with no Norm Powell tomorrow, who's out with a hamstring issue. This could be a few games, unfortunately, if you've got Powell. They're going to need someone to score. It's not going to be Dunn. It's probably not going to be Derek Jones. So Mann, Porter, and Coffey are probably our three guys that we're looking at. Preference? Coffey might be the preference because he's starting, so I think he'll get the most minutes. I think Kevin Porter has the probably the highest upside in terms of offensive ability, and then Mann is somewhere in the middle. So I would consider all three of them. I guess Kevin Porter also has that assists upside if you're looking for someone who can do more than one thing. Okay. Approximate stat line of what I'm going to do tonight. Well, I have no idea. I don't even know what team I'm playing for. I'm sort of just filling in for an old coach of mine in a local comp here. So I have no idea the team I'm playing for, who we're playing against. I will aim for double-digit rebounds. There we go. That'll do. It's about what I can offer. Australian Westbrook, triple-double, yeah. 61 shots, no. I don't think I've shot 61 shots in a game ever, and I really hope I never do. Not a big scorer. I'll just try to get rebounds. Buddy Hield is going to go for 70. If Keon Ellis, he might. Look, Buddy, yeah, I don't know. Buddy's he's cooled off, hasn't he? Aussie Westbrook. Yeah, I'm not Westbrook. Don't worry about that. But I will get, well, I don't even know if we get, we probably don't even keep stats, to be honest, in this comp. So I have no idea what I will be doing. All right, but that will do. My voice is shot. I'm going to go and get ready. I need to start stretching because I'm old so that I can make it back here for tomorrow's show. What do we got? Oh, nothing there. Okay, excuse me. All right, that will do. I will tomorrow, Thursday, yep, should be back tomorrow with another post-game show. 8 games to go through, usual sort of time. I don't think I've got anything on. So, yeah, barring any changes, should be back normal sort of time. That will do for today's show. I'm Adam King. This has been the Post Game Show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.